You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco. I'm excited about today's show because we have an awesome guest, Maria Sanchez of the Houston Dash and the Mexican national team. Have a dope conversation about, obviously playing, representing your country, some incredible goals with the Houston Dash, and getting into the trashiest of trash talk in FIFA, because Maria is 100% capable. I hope you enjoyed your Father's Day. I hope you celebrated Juneteenth. I had my first Father's Day. It was dope. It was obviously, my son is 2 months old. We're still figuring it all out. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a father for 2 months or for 2 days. You got to celebrate Father's Day with all the energy in the world. So it's been great so far. And I want to recommend another thing. For Juneteenth, if people want to know more about it or just really learn more about this country's history, and if you're listening, you hear my accent, I'm in America. Clint Smith wrote this book called How the Word is Passed. It's an incredible book. We had Clint Smith on a couple at the beginning of the World Cup, at the beginning of the Men's World Cup. We spoke to him, and his book is called How the Word is Passed, A Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America. And it's an incredible book. It was incredibly impactful for me. I know a lot of listeners in the past, they had purchased the book when after he was on the show, and it had a strong impact on them as well. So it's just one of those things that, especially for Juneteenth, and again, you want to learn more about the country's history, I highly, highly, highly recommend this book. And if you're an Arsenal fan, Clint is also an Arsenal fan, so maybe that's another way to connect as well. But the book is really, really powerful and incredible, so I always recommend it whenever I get the opportunity. So let's get the show started. This is obviously a special episode. I interviewed Maria Sanchez just a little over a week ago, and just to get to know her and talk about things going on in NWSL and the Houston Dash and the Mexican national team. So we had a really, really dope conversation. So here it is. Here's my conversation with Maria Sanchez.
All right. I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by my next guest. You've seen her in NWSL for the Houston Dash. You've seen her playing for Tigres. You've seen her obviously playing also for the Mexican national team. I'm absolutely honored. And I'm a huge fan of this player as well, because especially in the last 2-3 years, the goals are getting retweeted. They're showing up on my feed because they're too good to not hit the retweet button. And I'm absolutely honored to be joined by Maria Sanchez of the Houston Dash. Hello, Maria. How are you?
Hey, I'm honored to be here with you. I'm excited to get this going, and thanks for all the compliments. You made me feel good there.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's what we do here. Because usually when I meet footballers, I often ask the question. I'm like, have you ever met a stand-up comedian before? Because this is not like most like traditional soccer shows. And then what tends to happen is some players are like, oh, I'm on a comedy show. Are they going to be fun? I don't know if they're going to be funny. Do I have to be funny? Who's going to carry the weight of this show? So that's my first question to you. Have you ever met a stand-up comedian?
No, I actually haven't. Like, I love to just like be laughing all the time. So I'm excited to do this. And like, I'm not sure if I'm going to get roasted or not, but like, I think that's like,
I was going to say, I can't promise it'll be funny, but I will try my best. But no, we've had obviously plenty of players, especially on the Houston Dash. You know, one of my faves is Shea Groom. your teammate, and a great personality, really, really fun person. So I want to at least just start there and just talk about a couple of things with this NWSL season. You have a fascinating story, and we'll get kind of through as much of it as we can. But coming back to NWSL, and you know, with players like Rachel Daly leaving, and you would assume there's clearly a lot more responsibility put on you to you know, help this team score goals. So how's that leadership role feeling for you now with the Houston Dash?
I mean, I think I have a lot of great leaders around me, so I think that helps a lot. We have a lot of experienced players here, players that have been at Houston for a while now. So I think for me, in this past year, it's kind of just been learning from them. And obviously, I mean, when I first came into the league, I kept saying, and I keep saying now, it's the league of my dreams, because I think I had a first shot at it 4 years ago in Chicago, and that didn't go as well as I wanted. So I think for me, it's kind of this redemption and being able to play alongside some of these players. I think they make me look great on the field, like really during off season, and like just looking back, I see how great these players that surround me make me look, because they work hard. And I mean, I
love the humility, because I mean, your cannon of a left foot also makes some other players look good. I mean, last year, the ball that you sent to Rachel Daly for that header that looped over the keeper was insane, you know? And it was one of those things where as soon as the ball went in and she scored, I was looking at her to make sure that she was thanking you first before. It was an incredible goal, and she should be proud of herself. But that ball was immaculate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that will probably go down as my best assist, like, in my career. I couldn't believe it. Like, looking back at the video and stuff, I'm like, that is actually insane. Like, if you pay attention to detail, Rachel starts at half field, passes the ball, I think, out to, I believe it's like Chappie. I can't remember who. And then it goes to me, and then she's on the other side in the 18 finishing it. So I'm like, honestly, like, that's insane all around. It was
really cool. It's a great and a huge goal to be a part of. So I know it's but again, I appreciate the humility. I want to talk about your path, because you mentioned obviously getting into NWSL and it not going exactly as planned, but you have like a really great kind of redemption story. But it started in an interesting way. Obviously, coming from a small town, you've mentioned a lot, like not having a lot of the resources that probably a lot of people that you've played with did come up with. So the fact that you were able to make it and then hit that kind of like wall where you're like, oh no, I don't know if this is exactly right. How did you get past that hurdle after kind of dealing with those first initial challenges in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. I think there was times where I'm just like, you know what, maybe like this is it. Like, I already achieved my dream. I became a professional soccer player. Like, what else can I ask for myself? But I mean, it didn't feel right. And it's just, like you said, it's a hurdle that mentally you have to cross. And I think once you cross it, it's like great. But there's obviously moments during week in, week out where you feel kind of that sensation again of like, oh, it didn't go so well this week. But yeah, I think just mentality and sticking to it and like being resilient is what helped me, because there were so many times where I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. Like, I got my degree in Santa Clara. Like, maybe I could work off of that. My whole life it's been like soccer or nothing. And
right.
So,
no,
so yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of players that we've interviewed, and especially when we speak to female players, there is that is like a big aspect of their lives that I think doesn't go kind of like sort of spoken about enough, about like that you are a professional athlete, but you have this thing in the back of your mind, right? There was that campaign of like no side hustles, a while ago, and kind of, you know, adding that legitimacy simply to the career so that you can just be the best professional athlete you can, as opposed to thinking about, you know, as being so close to a, you know, a bartending or like, it's like there's a lot of that going on. So I'm curious about the moment that you felt like, all right, this is actually working out. Was it when you were at Tigres? Was it somewhere else where something clicked that like, okay, I'm good enough to be here and I'm confident enough in myself to continue in this path?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I first went pro, like I was making under 15 grand a year. Like I'm proud to say that, because
as a stand-up comic, I know exactly how you feel. Like, I've been there, sister.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember telling, like, I'm not going to say I grew up like poor, like I didn't have anything to eat, because honestly, I grew up very blessed and with hardworking parents that always supported me. But when I was making under 15 grand, it was kind of like, wow, like, can I do this? Like, man, you're doing it because you love the sport, because the money, it's not it. But obviously, like going to Mexico, believe it or not, some salaries in Mexico are higher than NWSL.
I can see it,
going to Chivas, it was a little bit better. And like I said, for me, I mean, I remember telling my parents, like, when I would get offered these contracts, it was like beating my parents' salary wasn't really hard to beat. So I guess for me personally, going to play professional soccer, it was like my second year, I was already making more than my parents in like 30 years in the U.S. So
my parents, Dominican immigrants, you know, my mom, a seamstress, my dad was a mechanic. It's the like,
yeah,
that's what I feel this sometimes when I like when I travel places. Like I went to like Paris a couple years ago and I'm like, man, I got to get enough money bring my parents. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this is not fair.
Yeah.
For everything they sacrificed for me, I gotta give them a little bit back. I can't just be out here flexing on the gram.
For sure.
While my parents see it.
Yeah, I feel like you feel bad at some point because you're like, man, I'm living this life, which like, honestly, to some people, it's like normal. That's what they grew up with. But for me, like in my second year of professional soccer, I was already like, dang, like I'm paying my rent. Like I live in a 10th floor in Mexico. Like I was already like, yeah. I could do this. I could do that. And like, I don't know, which growing up I didn't. So I guess for me, my second year, I already thought that I was like set, you know, like, and I wasn't even making that much money. But
I heard that you and your siblings paid the mortgage for your parents' house.
Yeah, I mean that. I think as a professional or growing up, that's always like, at least for me, that was always my dream, because I always saw professional athletes do that, like men's professional athletes, and then you know, you realize how much money you're making and like you're like, whoa, like that's kind of hard. But for me, that was like my first goal. Like, I don't care what it is. I want to pay off my parents' mortgage, because that to me was like the thing, like my dream, like obviously becoming a professional soccer player, but also like being able to do that for them. And, you know, when I would tell them about these contracts, like how much I was going to make, they were kind of like, that's how much you make. Like, you know, they had a different idea of a professional athlete on like, that you make so much money for playing soccer or whatever. But I guess to me, like that was like the first bigger paychecks that I was like, I have to.
That's a beautiful, I mean, it's a beautiful moment to be able to like help your family like that. You know, I'm still trying to get my mom an iPad. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm getting there.
But yeah.
I'll let you know how it goes.
It's a process, dude. Like,
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
also, I want to talk about playing for Mexico. Obviously, as a child of immigrant parents, that's just such a, I'm sure that's another huge thing that they must have been incredibly proud of. But it's tough, right? Because obviously you want to make the country proud, you want to make your family proud. But I know obviously Mexico not making it to the World Cup is obviously a difficult and taxing thing. But what are your feelings about the program and playing for the team and hopefully getting making it to the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a lot of growth. I think I tried out in 2015 for the national team, and I ended up going to the World Cup that year. So I mean, to me, that was like huge. That was out of my, I mean, just I couldn't ever imagine that. So I think for me, it started off like huge, and then now that I've kind of been through the process and like the struggle of the literally last 8 years not being able to go to a World Cup, like not being able to make it, it's been very, very tough. But I think during the past year, and obviously it took failures for there to be action, but I think the growth is yet to come, and like the younger players, more Mexican players being involved in the NWSL, which is, I think for me, was a big part of being in this league, because there has never been a Mexican that's kind of been like active prominent in the NWSL. So I think for me, it's kind of just learning from the last 8 years, which obviously the first 4 years I wanted to learn from that and like make a change, but it was kind of very difficult to do so. But now, I mean, we have a coach from out of the country, and we have an amazing staff, and like the resources that they're adding to the women's side in Mexico is amazing. So I think hopefully we could just grow from here and take those years. Obviously, some of us have been there the last two World Cup qualifiers that we've failed to make it, and some of us have, and some have only been in the last cycle. So hopefully we take this as a learning lesson and we'll be better, have a better process through these next 4 years.
I hope so. Yeah, I think it's really important for, the Mexican women to also be, as prominent, as inspirational as the U.S. women's national team. And that's something, you know, I know that I've heard you speak about it as well, as like kind of being the offering that kind of inspiration and showing young girls like, hey, this is a real path going forward. And I've spoken about this with a couple other players, and me being Latino and born in New York, and you, the ni de aquí ni de allá, right?
Yeah,
that is a common thing. If if you don't speak Spanish, it just means you're neither from here, you're neither from there. And it is essentially that feeling of not having a, you know, where do we belong? And that was that a very, I don't know, severe feeling when as you were coming through the ranks and maybe trying to find your way in soccer, just trying to find your way as a young adult. Like how much of a factor was that for you?
No, I mean, it's very difficult. In Idaho, I grew up my whole life, like watching Mexican League soccer, speaking Spanish, eating Mexican food. Like I thought I was really Mexican in Idaho. And then I went to Mexico and like, I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
And, like,
I got some work to do.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm like, you know, my teammates are like making fun of my Spanish. They don't like, because they're city people, and like my parents immigrated from a small town in Mexico, like where there's literally nothing.
Michoacán,
no
right?
Education. Michoacán. Yeah, Michoacán. Like my mom got to sixth grade, my dad got to first grade, and it's like I didn't learn that formal Spanish. I didn't learn like city Mexican life. Like I was like, whoa, like, and you know, sometimes it's hard to feel welcome because no matter what, they're going to look at you as a Mexican American. Like you're not Mexican. I'm like, what? I like eat all the food. I know more Mexican songs than like half of you guys. Like what, like what's going on?
Yeah. And then like in, back in Idaho, it's not like they're, you're like a jolly old American either. Yeah. Right. They're not treating you like,
yeah. So it's just, it's very difficult because here, like you're still like the girl with the accent, I don't know, speaking English or like different color. And then there you're like, oh, you're Mexican American. Like you're not.
Right.
So
right. I would imagine, you know, embarrassing some of your teammates in training shuts them up a little bit faster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that the only way you could speak and, like, back yourself up is on the field. So I'm like, the
rest That language is universal, okay? Yep. I don't need... it doesn't matter if I have an accent here. No, that's great. I also heard this about you. I heard... that you are very competitive at FIFA.
Yeah.
How serious is it? Because I'm an avid FIFA player.
Really?
Yes. And as soon as I heard this, I'm like, all right, do I got to schedule a game with Maria Sanchez?
Absolutely.
Because
look,
I don't really hear, you know, some players, they sort of keep it to themselves. We have Chicharito who's on Twitch playing and stuff like that. So there's a couple. I'm on top of it. I'm like, what players are playing? And see what I'm right now, just to let you know, I am currently playing an online season with Gotham FC.
Okay.
Schooling fools out there.
All right.
Embarrassing folks. Okay. And beyond, you've scored on me a couple times in my season. Haven't been happy about it, but I'm doing my best. So how serious is it with you and playing FIFA?
Listen, I mean, with soccer, like playing soccer, I'm pretty humble, but with FIFA, it's over. Like you can't beat me. Like
trash talk.
Like listen, I'm good.
Okay. What do? Do you do like ultimate team? Do you just play like career mode?
No, I mean, see that's where I'm different, I guess, than everybody else because everybody's like going to team management and like changing this player to have this role, like defensive role, right. Like don't go into the attack. I'm like, look, I'm just going to choose Real Madrid, Man City. Put like I'm
default
going.
Default settings. Yep. Let's go.
Yep. Like that's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to be there. Like usually it works.
Okay.
And then they start like figuring me out and then I can't win, but yeah.
Okay. Is there any, I remember speaking to Shay Groom and I know she mentioned like that the team is like, they're competitive with like Mario Kart and like Nintendo Switch and stuff like that. Does anybody else play FIFA with you or against you?
Barb. So Barb Olivieri is like the only one on the team that's like competitively close to me. But the other day we played and just letting you know, like I beat her, like it wasn't even close, like four times, five times, it wasn't even close. So she thought,
how do you feel obviously now that NWSL is in the game, how do you feel about your rating, how do you feel about your the caricature, how do you, I saw the Instagram post and you said, I'm paraphrasing, you were like, I think I could work with this, which is already suggesting a very like very tactical and awareness and knowledge of the game where you're like, you didn't do me right, FIFA, but I'm gonna work with what you gave me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always want more. Like, I feel like they gave me a little more pace than maybe I have. But so, all right, I'll let you guys get away with that. But I mean, it was freaking sick. Like, I remember my first FIFA that I bought was like 2006 on the PlayStation 2. And like, I remember playing all the time. Like I've always played like with other people. I never like playing by myself, but just like to be able to see myself, like actually looking like me, because I think women's teams got added like 3-4 years ago, the national teams, but they were like kind of pretty generic, like didn't really look like you. But when they did all these scans and stuff, like to me, that was insane. Like just seeing myself on there and like, you know,
what was, what was the scan day like? What was that experience like for you?
I mean, it was sick. I think we had like appointments to like come in, and then you do like different faces. But then when you go into like the actual trailer where they have like hundreds of cameras all around you and you're like in the middle, that was like really cool. Like, at least to me, I was like, guys, you don't know how exciting this is. We're going to be on FIFA. Like,
that's great. Yeah. That's a, you know, I get the sense that you were giddier than maybe some of the other people that were there. Some people are like, oh, another marketing thing, or we're going to do like content. And you're like, nah, this is it. I've made it.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, that was huge. And then like, I got to see my scan and like what I actually looked like. I'm like, dude, like, I can't grade in real life, but on the video game, I'm like...
Were you able to make any adjustments? Like, yo, add some muscles there. Can you
do it? Yeah, no, I'm like, dang, I'm practicing with myself on the video game. Like, what could I do better? There's
nothing better. As soon as they add comedians to FIFA, bro, I am going to be
commentators?
So excited.
Yeah.
All right, Maria, this has been so dope. I'm trying to see if there's anything I missed, but no, this has been awesome. I just want to wish you obviously a great rest of the season with the Houston Dash. Obviously watching games all the time on Paramount, and you keep crushing it every single time. I'm just like, every time you cut inside, I'm like, that's it, she's gonna send the ball into the far post and absolutely crush it and just humiliate another goalkeeper. But no, the Dash have looked great so far this season. It's been really, really fun to watch you and the rest of the squad. So Maria, is there anything you want to let people know before we go? I don't know where to follow you or anything you want to plug.
I mean, I'm not like huge on social media, but obviously, hopefully you guys support women's soccer, go out to games here in Houston, watch the Houston Dash. I think you'll get great quality soccer, very physical, very fun to watch, in my opinion. I mean, keep supporting us and hopefully we make it great for you guys and get you guys out there having fun.
All right. I mean, well said. I mean, obviously on this show, we're obviously huge, huge advocates of WOSO, NWSL. And yeah, again, keep crushing it. But Maria, muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Shout out to Maria Sanchez. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining me on the show. I hope everyone else enjoyed that as much as I did. Really, really dope conversation to have, you know, about, you know, not only just being a professional athlete, but just being a child of immigrants. And I love there was a lot to that was relatable, even for me. So that was awesome. So shout out to Maria. And again, best of luck to her in the rest of the NWSL season. I know she has a very, very promising career ahead of her. And as always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. If you're watching this and you haven't hit the subscribe button, it is literally an attack on me and my family, okay? It is a personal attack that I take high offense to. So hit the subscribe button right now. And you can follow me on my personal social channels at Christian _ Polanco on Instagram and at Chris Polanco on Twitter. So hit me up anytime. All right, we will be back on Thursday. Alexis will be back as well. And we'll have another guest on that show too. So a lot to look forward to. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed your weekend. Hope you enjoyed Father's Day, Juneteenth, everything. Be blessed. Take care. See you in a few days. Cheers.